Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Welcome to the Evil Never Dies podcast. This is our midweek episode, and I'm your host this week, Carl Todd. And tonight we're going to talk about the band Black Sabbath. Now, a few weeks ago, Brett and I had covered Live Evil, which was the last recording with Ronnie James Dio until he returned to the band a few years later. After that, Black Sabbath sort of had the wheels fall off. They brought in Ian Gillan from Deep Purple. That didn't work out. They brought in a man named Ray Gillan, who is no relation to Ian Gillan, who actually replaced Glenn Hughes, who had joined the band supposedly doing a Tony Iommi solo album, which turned out to be a Black Sabbath album. And Glenn Hughes, he got kicked off the tour after four dates, and Ray Gillan replaced him. And then he got fired from the band, or quit, depending on who you talk to. So the next singer to bat was a man named Tony Martin. This time it tuck, it work, everything is good. Tony Martin was an excellent singer. I mean, he's got the skill of Dio, or he's not as good as Dio, but he can make it sound just as good. Tony Martin is the most underrated heavy metal singer there was. The problem with Tony Martin, he had no stage presence, and he just didn't have any charisma, period. Excellent singer. Besides Ronnie, I think he was the second best singer. I mean, I love Ozzy to death, but Ozzy was a front man. Ozzy's one of the best front men that ever lived. As a singer, Ozzy's not the greatest, but Ozzy's definitely better than Ian Gillan and Glenn Hughes trying to sing Black Sabbath songs. That was a disaster. So we're going to fast forward through all that, and we're going to go to Headless Cross, which would be the second album of Tony Martin and the 14th studio album by Black Sabbath. It was released in April of 1989. And it will be the first album to feature drummer Cozy Powell. And we're going to talk about Cozy Powell here in a moment. It was recorded August through November 1988 at the Sound Mill in West Yorkshire, England. Its genre is heavy metal. It's 40 minutes long. And it was on the label IRS Records. This would be the first album that Black Sabbath ever released that wasn't on Vertigo / Warner Brothers. They actually lost their record deal with them, I guess, after all the wishy-washiness with Ian Gillan, Ray Gillan, and of course the great Glenn Hughes. They were like, say, you know, we're done with Sabbath. Let's just move on. So Iommi was trying to bring back Geezer Butler for this album, the original bass player. But Geezer Butler bamboozled Iommi and actually went and joined Ozzy on the No Rest for the Wicked tour. So talk about a strange fate. We have two original members of Black Sabbath in the Ozzy Osbourne band, and they were putting on some excellent shows. I saw the No Rest for the Wicked tour, and it was great. So what is Iommi to do? Well, he hires the drummer Cozy Powell, who played with Jeff Beck, Whitesnake, but more known for his work with Rainbow and Rainbow Rising. Cozy Powell was the legitimate drummer. He was absolutely one of the best drummers. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years after this album, but his legacy lives on. So we had no Geezer Butler, so they hire a studio bass player named Lawrence Cottle to play bass. And the guy did a good job, actually. I mean, he is no Geezer Butler, but who is? Geezer's Geezer. Jeff Nichols had been around since the late days of Ozzy on tour playing keyboards behind the stage. And he actually becomes a full-fledged member of Black Sabbath at this point. So our personnel for this album is Tony Martin on vocals, Tony Iommi on guitar, and the producer, co-producer, Jeff Nichols on keyboards, and Cozy Powell on drums and co-producer. Lawrence Cottle was studio bass player, and guess what? Brian May plays a guitar solo on the song When Death Calls. How cool is that? Brian May of Queen, good friend of Tony Iommi. Again, I think Iommi trying to bring a little bit of star power back to Black Sabbath after having all the wheels fall off several times. So, this album is predominantly lyrically full of occult and satanic elements, which is probably the first time in the career that the entire album is based on such ideas. You know, with Dio, it was more Dungeons and Dragons and rainbows and all that fun stuff. Ozzy era, you know, Geezer wrote all the lyrics and during the Ozzy era, and it was, there was some occult stuff, but a lot of it was stoner music straight up. You know, those late 80s or late 90s albums, a lot of influence came from those Sabbath albums. When I'm talking about the grunge stuff, a lot of that doper Black Sabbath 70s stuff, it influenced a lot of the bands like Soundgarden and Alice in Chains. So those albums, while I'm not a fan of them, were very influential. So can't knock them too bad, but I'm not a fan of the late era Ozzy Osbourne. I love Ronnie. And then, like I said, the whole Deep Sabbath or Purple Sabbath era, I was not too big on. But this is about Headless Cross. And this album, I'm a huge fan of. I think this is the best non-Dio or non-Ozzy album that Black Sabbath ever released. It's definitely in my top five, without any question, without any doubt. A lot of the critics and fans also think this is a good album. It's very, it gets a lot of critical recommendations, or I guess ratings is the word I'm looking for. So it's been 8 weeks in the Billboard charts in the United States, peaking only at 115. So sales were low, and it just didn't sell well. Now, Tony blames IRS Records, since this is the first time. He says that him and Cozy Powell was at a record store signing, and nobody could buy the damn record. It wasn't in the shop. So I think that's an excuse, Tony. I just think that by this point, most people had gave up on Black Sabbath, except for me. I saw the song Headless Cross on Headbangers Ball, the video, and I was like, this is cool as crap. So I bought the album. And here is the CD right here. This is like the holy grail of CDs, Headless Cross. It's been out of print for many, many years because IRS Records went bankrupt and the CD went out of print. Unfortunately, it is also not on Apple Music and it's not on Spotify, but you can find it on YouTube and I recommend that you do. This is classic stuff for Black Sabbath, without a Dio or without an Ozzy. And we're going to go over the track listing. The first song was an instrumental called The Gates of Hell, which was written by Jeff Nichols. It's just more mood ambient music, which leads into track two, Headless Cross. One of the darkest songs I think Black Sabbath ever put out. All Satan stuff here. Video is badass. Of course, they didn't have a bass player, so I forgot. I think I don't know who played bass in the video. They barely show him. Love Headless Cross, the song. One of the best Sabbath songs, right up there with anything Ronnie or had ever wrote with them. Track three is Devil and Daughter. There's a story behind that. This song was originally called Devil's Daughter, but the No Rest for the Wicked album from Ozzy had a song called Devil's Daughter, and apparently maybe Iommi and Cozy Powell were worried that Sharon might sue him, so they changed the name of the song to Devil and Daughter. I don't know. Good song. It's got some good keyboard riffs as long with Iommi's guitar. I like this song. Two thumbs up. I don't want to drop this holy grail of a CD and break it. Track four was When Death Calls, which featured Brian May on the guitar. sort of a slower song, very moody, dark. I like it. Very Sabbathy. Track five is Kill in the Spirit World. Now, this song has a lot of 80s commercial vibe to it, but it pays off in the end. It gets pretty dark and heavy. I personally think it's a good song. I like Kill in the Spirit World. Track six is called Call of the Wild. Now, this song was actually sort of the weakest song on the album. You know, you're not going to have a perfect album every time. This song is probably the weakest. Track seven was called Black Moon, which is a new version of Black Moon. It was originally written by Dan Spitz, Eric Singer, and Jeff Nichols when they were in the band. So I guess after Ray Gillen quit, they had nobody to sing it. So they just kept it around and they rewrote the lyrics with Tony Martin, and Black Moon is a good song. I'm glad that they didn't trash the song. I'm glad that it actually made it on the album. The last song, track eight, this is a kind of a short album, is Nightwing. And it's not Nightwing from Batman. It's Nightwing about the devil flying around the earth killing people. It's a long song. It's 6 minutes and 32 seconds. And it starts out slow and builds up to that Sabbath grind. This is just a good album. I like the album. There was an extra song called Cloak and Dagger, which came out as a B-side, and probably, I think it was a picture disc. It's a bad song. It sounds too 80s, and I'm glad it got kicked off the album. So, like I said, the album did not sell well in the United States, unfortunately. It did okay in the UK. It debuted at 31. It did really good in Germany. Actually came in at 18 on the German charts. So, the tour is interesting, a very interesting tour, because the United States part of this tour actually got canceled due to low ticket sales. I remember they were going to play at the Bronco Bowl in Dallas, Texas, and we didn't get to go. I don't know that we knew at the time it was low ticket sales, but now we know. We're going to talk a little bit about Black Sabbath on this tour. They actually played in Russia. That's right. Mikhail Gorbachev had opened up Western acts to play in Russia, and Black Sabbath was one of the first. And let's see. They actually brought Neil Murray on this tour to play bass. Neil Murray was actually formerly in Whitesnake and had been in Black Sabbath before. So he actually came in as a touring bass player, and I love Neil Murray. The Russia thing was weird. They actually taped this to be released as a concert. Well, I don't know that it was ever released. I never found it, but it is on YouTube, the entire show from start to finish. You need to look it up. It's called Black Sabbath Live in Moscow, 1989. You'll get to see Tony Martin and his brilliance as far as a singer and his not so brilliantness as a front man. Tony, he just didn't have the stage presence. He later changed his name to Tony the Cat Martin. That didn't help either, Tony. I love you to death, but when it comes to Ronnie and it comes to Ozzy, you got a great voice, but you're not Ozzy and you're not Ronnie. But anyway, they did play in Europe, and this whole Russia thing, which was fucking bad. Oops, I said the bad word on here, Brett. You're going to have to beat me. I cussed on the midweek, so I can't get a PG rating. Sorry. But this album, we'll just say it, is fucking badass. I give this album a 4.5. It's one of my top five. Almost said 15. It's one of my top five Black Sabbath albums of all time. I love it to this day. It's held up well. I've always compared this album to No Rest for the Wicked from Ozzy and Badlands, the debut album from the band Badlands, which featured Ray Gillen and Eric Singer, who had both been in Black Sabbath together. On the other end, No Rest for the Wicked featured Ozzy and not the album, but the tour, Geezer Butler. So I'm going to try to review those two albums at a later date, because I kind of rank these three albums sort of together. I don't think there's anything else to cover on this. I think that does it. You'll have to find it on YouTube and look for the concert. It was really good. Brett said this was too commercial for him, and he gave it a 3. So, boo, Brett. You can go listen to those 70s Black Sabbath stoner albums, you and Alice in Chains. I hate the blast on Black Sabbath, but those last few albums of Ozzy, I just can't get into. The first three albums were brilliant. After that, yeah, not so good. I like Ronnie's stuff better. Check it out. Black Sabbath, Headless Cross, good stuff. Just because it's not available on YouTube or Spotify, I mean on Spotify or Apple Music, it's on YouTube. Find it, listen. Let me know in the comments what you think. That's all I got for this. This has been our midweek episode. We'll be back Sunday with Bubba Brett. And check us out on social medias. And check me out at www.carltodd.com. You'll find the haunted house. You'll find the YouTube show and link to the podcast, as well as our group on Facebook. We have our YouTube, our Facebook, and our podcast all on my webpage. Well, I'm going to have to get out of here. I'm going to a Ranger game, and I'm running late. So sorry to rush out of here, folks. Stay evil, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
rejoice.